section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Lesnar hurts Noble, multiple surprises on Impact, and is Dolph leaving the WWE? All this and much, much more on this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Welcome to another episode of Off the Mark. We are the podcast that provides the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew. He is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. So it's Dolph Ziggler on his way out.
Yeah, all the reports that we are reading right now are saying that Ziggler is not going to be signing a new deal, and he is going to be out within the next few months. So is this a big blow to WWE?
A huge blow. I mean, he is a worker. He's on every, it seems like he's on every single show except Superstars and Main Event right now. And the fact that he is leaving, he's going to go somewhere and he's going to main event there and he's going to be the star there. And that's the problem. If you want to basically keep someone like him, do what they usually do. You re-sign him, give him a huge push, and then you put him back where he was. And that's what they're probably going to do here. If not, he can go pretty much anywhere. He can actually make some really good money over in Japan. And I wouldn't be surprised if he goes on the tour to Japan, when he's there, if he's like, you know what? I think I can do this. I can make about the same amount of money, except that I only work part time. And I think that's what'll end up happening.
No, I totally agree with you there. You know, there is speculation, of course, about Lucha Underground or, going to TNA, among other places. But I think that New Japan is probably the place that he would end up. He could easily join the Bullet Club immediately and be a star there. He would be a main eventer just about anywhere he goes. The problem that WWE has, I don't think that he is a person that you build the show around. But if he was the only person on SmackDown, like if they had a brand split, he would be the main eventer of SmackDown. The problem is that on Raw, they are there's a few at the top, but the top is top heavy. And what I mean by that is that you have someone like a Lesnar who really takes up the space of like five other people who could be main eventing if there was a SmackDown, you know, and that's that therein lies the problem. So I think that Ziggler, he has a lot of talent and I think that he could go a lot of places. I think him leaving WWE would be one of the best things he could do for his career.
As much as I don't want to agree with you on this part, it is true. I think he'll do a lot more things. And plus, if he wants to focus on his comedy career, which it seems like that's the direction he's going in, you know, he could do pretty well. There are other avenues out there, and New Japan is always looking for that guy. And especially if you can get Dolph Ziggler, and the thing is, the other thing I want to point also is that when you go to Japan, you get a per diem, your flights and hotel are paid for, and you get driven everywhere. So you get paid a certain amount of money, and that's your money. That's the best part about it. So I believe Dolph Ziggler will leave the WWE. He'll go to New Japan. He'll do really well over there. But I don't see him doing like Lucha or TNA or Ring of Honor at all. I believe that's where
he'll
be.
I could see TNA. I could see Ring of Honor. Lucha seems so niche. Honestly, it's kind of surprising. Del Rio's not as surprising because he is Mexican and is more of a Mexican audience. Johnny Nitro or Morrison Mundo, whatever you want to call him. That's a little surprising, but not as much, you know, because I don't think that he really knew where else to go. And I think that that probably worked with his schedule and he was the top guy there almost immediately. So, I think Ziggler is going to land on his feet and wherever he goes, he's going to be a superstar.
Now, the other ones that are kind of big is that Gunnar and Sam Shaw have left TNA. And I believe that this is more because it's budget cuts. They're just, you know, we don't know. We're not doing anything with these guys and we're paying them, you know, X amount of dollars every week just to be part of TNA. We can cut, I don't know, we'll just say they're making $500 a week. If they can cut, you know, $1,000 a week, basically $52,000 a year, why not do it? And I believe that's why they're gone.
Is it a loss?
No. I mean, I like the Sam Shaw character at first, but I don't believe they did it right. And I think that's the problem with this. If they would have done his gimmick right, completely different story.
I don't know. I kind of disagree with you there. I think that they did do his gimmick right, but it had a glass ceiling. And I think that's just something that we had talked about, you know, months and months ago, like probably a year and a half ago now. But he had a kind of stalkerish like character, a little like Dexter, and it had a glass ceiling. There's not a whole lot else you can do with that. Is he going to stalk everybody? You know, or are they going to have an evolution of his character? They didn't have anything planned. So instead, he had an interesting storyline with Anderson and, you know, then with Gunner, and then it hit the glass ceiling and it was done. And so you get rid of him, and that's what you do. And so I don't think he's as big of a loss. Gunner actually got better over time. He had a pretty good tag team with James Storm, and they even had a pretty good feud. And so I actually enjoyed that the overarching storyline that they did. You know, I might be in the minority with that. But even with Gunner, I don't know if they had a long-term plan with him. So is this a big loss? Not really. I think they'll do well in the indie scene.
Yeah, I'm just wondering where they're going to go. If they're, I doubt they go to Ring of Honor, and I doubt they go to Lucha Underground. They're probably just going to hit the indie places around the area. You know, best luck to those guys. Like you said, Gunner, as much as we didn't like Gunner for the longest time, he did show signs of improvement. So, the other thing that I wanted to bring up, because this was talked about on a radio show recently, and it's the real reason why Kevin Owens lost to John Cena. And what it was is that the live events, the attendance went down after Cena lost, and also his merchandise sales dipped dramatically. But when he won, it went back to where it was. Do you think it's because Cena won, or do you think?
Well, you made a very critical error there. You said the real reason. That's not the real reason. It's speculation. It is 100% speculation. It's funny. If you listened to our show 2-3 weeks ago, I told you there is a 90% chance that John Cena is going to win. And he won. And you said last week, Aaron was right, because I was. I told you that's what was going to happen. This whole speculation, it's just like when anything happens, they try to shine a spotlight on John Cena and say he's the reason for all the bad things in the world. John Cena losing is not Kevin Owens losing is not a bad thing. Kevin Owens needed to lose to John Cena, because now that their match that they're going to have at the pay-per-view is a bigger deal, because now it's who is actually going to win. Because if Kevin Owens won a second time, why have a third match? There's no need to, you know, there really isn't. And so it made complete sense that John Cena was going to win. And I would like to see the numbers. I would like, you know, the radio show who you know, speculated, was it Brian Alvarez or whomever?
Yes.
I would like him to show me the numbers that says that not just John Cena was down 7%, but that no other wrestler was up at all. Because that's the other thing, too. If John Cena's merch happened to be down by 7%, well, let's take a look at the other merch. Was Randy Orton's up by 1%? Kevin Owens was up by 2%. Daniel Bryan's happened to be up by 1% for some weird reason, even though he's not wrestling. Well, guess what? Merch sales overall are the exact same. So just because John Cena's down doesn't mean anything. That doesn't matter. And I really think that this is grasping at straws. And I really, really think that this is not just speculation, but it's just mudslinging, you know, at this point in time. It's not even, they're just trying to make John Cena look as bad as possible.
Or do you think this is the Paul McCartney theory from 1966? Okay, so Tyson Kidd is out for 14 months, unfortunately. We don't know if he's going to come back, because this is very similar to what happened with Bret Hart from the bump that he took from, well, Bill Goldberg, because he kicked his head off. And also same thing with Stone Cold. Do you think Tyson Kidd will be back?
I think that he will eventually return, but he is not going to be wrestling the same way he was. And it's very sad. He is 33, 34-ish, I want to say. You know, you can do a quick fact check there. He doesn't have a whole lot of, you know, time left, to be honest. And so, you know, he's going 14 months. It's smart because it's neck injury. Stone Cold Steve Austin had it, and a lot of other people did too, and it really shortened their careers. And it's so unfortunate, because he had a really great thing going with Cesaro. And now, you know, he's gone for 14 months. Cesaro's going to be doing something else. And, you know, it's very unfortunate. So, you know, obviously we wish him nothing but the best.
Yeah, because it's a long time. You're talking best case scenario, SummerSlam of 2016. That's a long ways out. So I really hope TJ Wilson, Tyson Kidd, I really hope he has a speedy recovery and he can wrestle again. The other thing I thought was interesting about the injury is that Bret Hart went out and said it's Samoa Joe's fault.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was wrong. He said it's because he used the Muscle Buster. The Muscle Buster is a simple bump. it's nothing more than a back bump. I don't know how, and they said that this happened beforehand, that he messed up his neck, that it's possible that it was a big boot that he took. Well, you can't blame on one move.
No, and I think that that is, Bret Hart has a lot more wrestling experience than I do, plain and simple. I get that. However, though, you're saying that that move is so dangerous and needs to be banned. It is a Samoan drop. It is a Samoan drop. And he dropped him on his back. And the way his neck was cradled, fluke accidents happen. AJ Styles Clash is a front bump that is so... it really is one of the safer moves. It just looks cool. The problem that a lot of people have is that they're so used to tucking their chin, and they're trying to, they're trying to do a back bump when they do a front bump. And that's where people have gotten their necks really hurt. You know, Roderick Strong, obviously one of them, Stevie Richards, another one. And that's a freak accident. It really is. Now, the wrestler who is giving it, AJ Styles, for example, really needs to say front bump, front bump, front bump. You know, he needs to say that constantly to the guy. And Samoa Joe says, look, you know, hey, we're doing the muscle buster. Get ready. Back bump, you know, that sort of thing. I think that Bret Hart is off on this. I also think that he's a little bit bitter ever since what happened with him and Goldberg. But that's, you know, a whole nother story.
But I think it's also bitter because remember, TJ is the last one that wrestled in the Hart Dungeon. And I think that has something to do with it because he's 34 and he was the last one from there. Well, now his basically, I don't want to say protege, but the last wrestler that he trained is now out. Or I'm sorry, that he trained in the Hart Dungeon is now out because of a simple back bump. I'll tell you the truth, dude. I've seen worse people take harder and really weird power bombs of all things where they land literally on their neck and you think that they're well done, like Big Show, for example. And then I've seen people take the vertebraker completely wrong. And that's a dangerous move. But I think if you want to get in all seriousness, the powerbomb actually can be a dangerous move, too. So, I mean, if you want to say that, no matter how you look at it, same thing. Or you can even go on a tangent and say that the stunner is a bad bump because you're landing on your knees hard. And if you don't wear knee pads, all your weight's coming right down on your knees and then you're supposed to flop. But, you know, I guess I can go on and on about this. The weird thing that actually happened, though, over the weekend is that Eric Rowan tore his biceps. Tore them. That is a hard thing to do. I don't know if they haven't said if they were torn off the bone yet, but that is a painful injury. So what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, it's very unfortunate. You know, they were trying to do a big thing with the Wyatts getting back together. And yeah, guess what? It's not happening. Not happen.
We'll see at Survivor Series. Maybe they'll get the family back together, get the band back together. You never know.
Yeah, maybe.
But yeah, it's just sad. Just sad. So let's talk WWE program for this week. So Kevin Owens and John Cena, it's going to be for the U.S. title now. And this is a bigger deal because the way NXT taped, you don't know what's going to happen in Japan yet. They can tease so many things. So does this mean that Owens is going to drop it and then win the U.S. title and then they're going to fight again at SummerSlam? I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
I really think that Owens Cena for the U.S. title, this makes a lot more sense. I really do not like the idea of them doing a three pay-per-view stint, which is really over the course of just like a month and a half because of how often they had those pay-per-views together. I think Owens and Cena have some really great chemistry, but I really think that having these feuds so quickly, so early on, will diminish anything that will happen later on, because Owens and Cena will probably feud another time down the road, maybe even a couple more times. And so you want to make it where it lasts and it's a big deal, kind of like where Brock Lesnar, when he took on Undertaker. You know, when it was at WrestleMania, it was a huge deal, and they really did not talk at all about the backstory, you know, when they actually had other matches, which I think is smart. So I think that it's a good move for them to go for the U.S. title. I would have Owens win it here, though. I think that it's time for Cena to drop the belt.
So Owens will win it, then we'll say at Battleground, and then they're going to go one more time at SummerSlam, and then that's when the feud's going to end. Because in this case, then Cena will lose twice in a row. which he hasn't done. So do you think that this will happen now?
I think it's possible.
Yeah, I think so too. And I'm almost wondering, they're behind production on Kevin Owens' merchandise, which I think actually is a bad thing, because I think that he could be selling so much more in merchandise, because he keeps, they have so much more stuff for him coming out, but it's not coming out until next month. And I think that they might have missed the boat on this one. I did not get my Samoa Joe shirt because it's out of stock still. Man, I'm actually looking forward to this feud, and I would like to see Owens do something with the U.S. title, maybe change it so it's maybe the Canadian title. Shout out to Lance Storm.
It's not going to happen. That won't happen. They won't do that.
I just want to say Lance Storm because I haven't said his name in a really long time on the show. But another person I haven't said their name a lot or by their first name, but Jamie Noble, he actually got hurt legitimately on Raw. Lesnar threw him against the barricade. And the weird part about this was that he didn't move. They said that some people said that he it looked like he stopped breathing because he broke 3 ribs. I guess it can't be fake, but I wish that they would have rushed over to him, because people were throwing the X up. Like they said, supposedly a couple fans did. I didn't see that, but I did think it was weird that the camera angles from there on out had nothing to do with the ramp at all. So while they were working on, but it just stinks that he was hurt. But do you blame Brock Lesnar because he threw him so hard into the barricade?
It comes with the territory. You know, it's like when a football player gets injured from a hit, do you blame the person who hit him? Unless he was defenseless, which obviously that's different. But if it's a normal hit and the football player is now out for 4 weeks, do you blame the person that hit him? No, it's part of the game. It's what happens. Same thing here. Could Lesnar have probably done a safer job? Could he have protected him more? Probably. And I think that this is just going to, be added to the storyline. I don't think that Noble is, Lesnar's like 3 Nobles, I mean, that's what he is. He's 3 Nobles. He's 3 Nobles. And he just happened to be a little bit stronger, and he didn't know his own strength. So that's what happens. It's very unfortunate. And I don't think that you reprimand Lesnar. I don't think that there's anything that would happen because of that. So, yeah.
Yeah, but during the segment, though, it was interesting because it just seemed a little off, because all of a sudden Joey Mercury made a recovery real fast. And then, of course, Kane and then Rollins, and they beat up Brock Lesnar, which I thought was interesting. Mm-hmm. Because I thought they all of them didn't like each other. But it was just weird that you saw Mercury. But Mercury looked like he actually threw an elbow at Lesnar because he hurt. This is speculation, because he hurt Noble. But I thought it was weird because he didn't stop. Like, he kept hitting him in the head. So he knew something was up. But the fact that Lesnar got beat up, it shows a weakness that he can be stopped. But they also worked on his knee. And this could lead to something where, at least at the pay-per-view, Rollins can just work his knee over and over again. And then maybe that'll make it so he can't lift him for the F5. So that's a good I like that storyline part of it.
Yeah, no, I agree. And so, the other thing too. So Lesnar, obviously he's taking on Rollins at pay-per-view. He gets beat down on Raw. Does this make Rollins look credible now against Lesnar?
If he beats Lesnar, yes.
Is he going to?
He's going to get DQ'd.
So you believe that Rollins is going to retain?
He'll retain, but Lesnar will win. Lesnar will win because of DQ. That's the only way you can do this, because then at SummerSlam you could say, no holds barred. No, you can't do that. I don't even know what you can do. Lumberjack match, maybe. I don't know. But no. you could do some type of gimmick match where, or you could do it where a title can change hands with a DQ.
Yeah, they won't do that. That's only happened actually once in history of the WWE.
Really?
Do you know who?
It wasn't Lex Luthor.
Lex Luthor?
I'm sorry.
Superman's villain? Yeah, no, it wasn't him. No, it was actually Christian and Randy Orton.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Randy Orton, punted him in the balls, and he lost the title.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Lex Luger, by the way, is who I was thinking of.
I know who you're thinking of.
I know. For some reason, I said Luther. I have no idea why. I just saw something on WWE list about it, about how he thought he won the title and he didn't.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, I don't think that'll happen. But so your speculation, though, you're saying that Rollins will retain.
Yeah.
Right. At least right now, you think so.
He'll definitely retain. I wouldn't be surprised if he loses at SummerSlam, because that's what we speculated for a while, that he'll probably keep it till SummerSlam, because then, you know, that's almost 6 months of him being a champion. And he actually beat Dean Ambrose, so you could say, well, he's a legit champion because he actually beat him clean, but technically he didn't, because they both fell down with the title, and then Ambrose didn't have a good handle on it, so of course, Rollins got it. But, you know, this also could be the time that maybe Sheamus comes out, cashes in, because they haven't really been, to me, they haven't been pushing that.
You know, the thing is, they may want to not have it in people's faces as much, you know, and I think that's probably, it's not a bad idea. The one thing I hate about Rollins when he had the Money in the Bank briefcase, it, you know, when he first won it, every single week he came out talking about how it's his and now how he can cash in at any time. And it was I get it. You're annoying us. You're trying to, you know, present yourself as a main eventer. In WWE's eyes, Sheamus is a main eventer because he is a former 3, 4, 5, 6 time world champion, you know, and so they don't think that they need to promote that as much. Instead, he can come out. They can say he's the Money in the Bank briefcase holder and put him into other feuds, which isn't a bad idea. You know, he has wins over Reigns and, you know, just keep that ball rolling. You know, that's what you do with him. So
do you think they're ever going to reunite the Shield?
Never say never.
That is true. So let's thank our sponsor, HostGator. Are you a blogger or a podcaster, or are you just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script install, their free site builder, and hands down the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo, see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code, OFFTHEMARK, you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what are you going to lose? Check out HostGator.com, take a bite out of your web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out Section 86's Off the Mark page and click on the banner at the top to save big on items from WWEShop.com. Quick note, did you watch Swerve yet, Aaron?
No.
You got to watch it. It's on the WWE Network. It was really, really
funny. I'm sure it's terrible.
No, it's actually funny, Aaron. Seriously. So let's talk Impact Wrestling. Yeah, I didn't expect this to happen, but who returned, Aaron?
To what?
To Impact Wrestling.
Oh, you're talking about your boy?
He's not my boy.
I'm sorry, your girl. Karen Jarrett returned.
Now, Jeff Jarrett returns with Karen Jarrett. And the weird part is that they did talk about Global Force Wrestling. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
They came out and it's going to be in a, was it King of the Mountain match that he's going to participate in at the pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to figure out what they're doing here. This doesn't make sense to me. Why would he come back if they just decided to do this recently, like as in just a few days ago?
So it sounds like my concern for TNA has definitely risen after watching Impact on Wednesday. It really has made me wonder what they are doing. And the reason behind that is Jarrett coming out, I was surprised just as anybody. He's wearing a GFW shirt. He mentions the name over and over again. They talk about it. He actually went on a 5-minute, you know, rant about, you know, what had happened with him and TNA and GFW. But, you know, and it was just like, all right, whatever. I don't care. That aside, he's going to be in the King of the Mountain match. He's probably going to win it. It's not for the title. So is it for a number one contenders match? What is this? Like, what is the point of this match? Who's in the match? Right now, one person has been announced for, Jeff Jarrett. That's it. So that's a little, okay, why am I buying this pay-per-view? You know, why am I going to do it? And we'll get into that a little bit more, but Jeff Jarrett coming back, I thought something big was going to happen, and he was going to talk about how, you know, GFW and TNA are going to have some matches. We're going to have TNA versus GFW, you know, or I'm here to grab people from TNA and bring them to the promised land of GFW. Something, you know, that's what I was expecting. But instead, he comes back and he says, I'm going to be in, you know, the King of the Mountain match. Well, who cares? Like, honestly, who cares? I don't care. You know, it's not that big of a deal. I think it's cool to have Jared back, but I don't know. Like, there's not enough speculation there that makes me go, ooh, I can't wait to find out what happens. Instead, it's more like, hmm.
And that's the sad part, because I really thought that him coming back there was a big deal. But did it make people want to watch it? That's the other thing. Are they going on Twitter? Because I didn't even check what the Twitter trends were. Was that one of them, Jeff Jarrett on TNA or something about that? I'm kind of curious about that part of it. But to me, this is not that big of a deal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sorry. To me, it is a big deal. But at the same time, it's not a big deal because I don't care. And that's sad for me to say that, because this should have been a huge thing. I mean, I thought Vader returning was a bigger deal because I was like, oh, it's Vader, you know, but I'm sorry. But that to me, I was more impressed in a way with that. But him coming back, I don't know. What is TNA thinking? I mean, that's what it boils down to. What is TNA really thinking? Bringing another promotion in? Is it going to be a thing where GFW just takes over TNA completely? I mean, that's the only thing I can think of.
The thing is, when you have a seed planted that makes you go, whoa, this could be really cool, or I think something awesome is going to happen. Instead, this is more like, it was you were going to set off a big firework and a little whimper came out, basically.
Is this a WCW Nitro where they kept bringing guys in? And then it was like, oh my gosh, that guy's there. Oh my gosh, you got to watch Nitro now. Is this what TNA's going to try and do? Because at least that's how I'm taking it right now, is that they're just going to continue to bring a guy in, even if it's for a one-shot deal, and you're going to be shocked about it. But the other problem I have with this is simple. You can only do this when it's live. If it's not live, some people won't care.
Absolutely.
And I think that what's going to happen is that I think their ratings are going to go up this week. And especially, I think Ring of Honor's ratings are going to go up as well because of the pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. But I think also TNA's will, because if someone said, hey, by the way, you got to check out such-such showed up. So they're going to watch it, or they're going to watch the replay of it. But yeah, you can only do it when it's live.
I agree with you. You know, Vader was a really big surprise for me. A bigger surprise was Matt Morgan. Matt Morgan coming out, I was like, oh, cool. You know, he's been gone for a while. There's speculation he was going to be in WWE. And, you know, he shows up in TNA. And I was like, oh, that's really neat to, you know, see him here. And he's going to be taking on Bram at Slammiversary, which I think is kind of cool. It's short notice. They obviously needed to fill some, you know, matches in there. You know, these two could put on some a good solid 10, 15 minute match, I think. You know, Bram is a solid worker. He's obviously more of a brawler, but you need that in there to help break up the monotony of just normal wrestling. I really think that Matt Morgan, if he's around for a while, I think that they could do wonders with him. I think that he is main event material, if they bill him right. And then also we had Hernandez return, Andy. And he's been on Lucha Underground, so it was kind of cool to see him too, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was interesting because like I just saw him like I don't know how long it's been, maybe 3 weeks ago on Lucha Underground. And granted, yes, that was taped like 4 months ago. But you're like, oh wow, he's on Impact now. Okay, why are they doing this? But then technically, Lucha is not that big; it's a small area. I mean, you're talking 100,000 to 120,000 people watching in a week, opposed to Impact, which okay, maybe it's about the same, but. No, I'm just kidding. It's about 3 or 4 times that. But still, that's interesting that he's able to do that. But I was shocked because I was like, is that Hernandez when he first came out? And I was like, is it him? Maybe? But yeah, it was cool to see him back, though. I mean, I think it's nice to see some guys come back, even if it's for like a 1 or 2 off type deal. It's nice to see them come, you know, return where you... A lot of people, like, I don't remember seeing Hernandez anywhere but TNA. And then we show up in Lucha Underground. I was like, oh, he's in Lucha. And then all of a sudden, it's like, oh, he's back in TNA. It's kind of cool. But it's almost like now he needs to go away for 6 months and then bring him back again. And you can do the same thing.
Yeah, and I like him. I actually think that Hernandez is pretty talented. I think that he has a good look to him. And if you put him in the right program, you know, he can do wonders. I actually think that he and Chavo had a really good tag team going for a while. It's just unfortunate that they weren't able to do more with them. So, but it was cool to see him back. I actually think that Hernandez's that's such an interesting word
yes,
to say.
Yes, it is.
His return, though, was not as big. I think his was the least big out of all of them, out of everyone that really returned. But kind of going down that road, we had Angle take on Matt Hardy in the main event. I was under the impression we were going to get Angle and EC3 because they said it's not going to be at the pay-per-view. And so I don't know if maybe I just wasn't paying as much attention, but my impression was this is a live show. We are going to get them EC3 versus Kurt Angle. Big match. And then they came out and they said, oh yeah, you know what? We're going to have this next week at Bell to Bell, which, okay, what's Bell to Bell? You know, they never explained that. They, you know, if this was my first impact, I'm going, what's Bell to Bell? You know, on top of it, that's going to be a taped show. We're going to find out tonight or tomorrow, but sometime soon, we are going to find out if EC3 or Angle wins the world title.
Big mistake. And here's my other problem with this. If you're doing a pay-per-view on Sunday, you need to have your world champion in the main event. Regardless, he needs to be, if it's Angle, if it's EC3, they need to be in the main event. That's the thing. You're going to watch a pay-per-view where there's going to be one title defended. That's pretty, I guess. No, the women's match isn't because that's next week. The X Division. Nope. So you're going to have no titles defended on a pay-per-view. And here's the other problem that I have with the pay-per-view. You got to get on the Flips app. I am not going to do that then. I might actually skip this pay-per-view.
So I had said a couple weeks ago, what I thought was going to happen is that at the pay-per-view, because this was my impression, you know, that this is the way that it makes sense. Even if it wasn't overtly said, your main event is EC3 versus Kurt Angle. Your semi-main event, you have the Dirty Heels taking on the Wolves. That, and neither of those are happening at the pay-per-view. Neither of them. Instead, they are happening on Impact tonight. You know, being taped tonight, that's going to happen next week. So we are already going to know who the winners are. I'm so baffled by this. I really am, because I said it would be, and this is a quote, I said it would be the height of stupidity to tape that and not have them wrestle on the pay-per-view. What would have been smart, you have them wrestle on the pay-per-view, you tape these two or three tapings that you're doing in between the Wednesday night show and the pay-per-view, and then it's very easy. It's very simple. All you do is you have matches that don't have anything to do with the titles. Instead, you have these tag teams are going at it, and the winner gets to take on the new tag team champions. Okay, that's fine. Guess what? In post, that's when you have, you know, Josh Matthews talk about how, oh, the Wolves, they're the greatest tag team in the world and they get to take on the Wolves, blah, blah, blah. That's smart to do. The problem is that that's not what TNA is doing. And I really feel that this, when we look back on the downfall of TNA, I think this is going to be a chapter head, in my opinion.
The fact that they taped so far in advance?
No, the fact that they had an amazing opportunity to have the world title match on a live-ish show or on a pay-per-view, and they chose instead to tape it. And this is going to be a chapter, and this is going to say, this is how you don't run a wrestling company.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm not saying TNA is going out of business. I'm not saying, oh, you know, they're done. They're done. You know, the finger poke of doom, which that Nitro was phenomenal. It was an amazing Nitro. Terrible ending, and people look at that and they say that's one of the reasons that WCW failed. That happened in 99 2000, and WCW was still around for another year or two. So it's not like this is, oh, TNA's gone now. TNA's gonna be around a lot longer. It's just that this is a I think that this is a chapter.
You know, I've been thinking about this more and more. I mean, we give TNA a lot of crap because right now they could tape potentially with the tapings that they have this week and what they have in July, they could potentially tape the rest of the year if they wanted to. they actually have potential to tape, well, 20 episodes, but they're not going to. We figured out that they're going to be doing some one night onlys. But if you think about it, they could tape basically for the rest of the year. Well, if I read all the spoilers, why should I watch the show? What is going to make me want to watch that show? And I think that's why there's times that people miss the boat. And I believe as a company, they did. And here's the thing. Okay, here's a great example on how to tape ahead without giving anything away. Look at NXT. They taped four shows last Thursday. Four shows. And it's potential that you don't know who's going to win in Japan. They have it where it could be where Finn wins the title because they're doing a bunch of vignettes with him right now. So you could have do a vignette of him being the champion at the fourth NXT show that they have. And then at the tapings, he comes out, you know, hypothetically, if he won the belt, you could have him come out. And it's perfect because they don't have to have the champ, everything surrounded by the champion, because to me, NXT is still kind of indie. But when you take TNA, that is a made non-indie company, well, I'll say non-indie company in quotation marks. The thing is, you can't do that. You have to tape. If you're going to have tapings, I don't care if they changed you from Friday to Wednesdays. You can tape one night onlys. And I think you said that I said this last week. You can tape one night onlys for the next few nights. And then maybe take, you know, tape portions that'll appear on Impact. And then tape an Impact on Monday, and then you're fine. But they're not doing that. And that's the problem. This is a huge deal. And plus, they're not going to be on, from what I understand, they're not going to be on Comcast. They're not going to be on DirecTV, Dish Network, probably AT&T Universe, Time Warner Cable. You know, you name it. The only way you can watch it, from what I understand, is the Flips app. I didn't hear him say it once during the show tonight.
And I, you know, that definitely is a an issue with promoting a show. It really is. That it's like I said, I don't think TNA is going the way of the dodo. In fact, if anything else, I actually feel that this really helps demote their status more than anything else to be more of an indie show now. And, you know, TNA was definitely the clear number two. Very distant, but they were the clear number two. Ring of Honor is a number three. You have Lucha Underground. GFW is going to be in there. Even New Japan is, you know, showing signs. But TNA was the clear number two. TNA now is closer, and I mean, they were before, but TNA is a lot closer now to Ring of Honor than they are to WWE. And that's very unfortunate.
Yeah, but Ring of Honor doesn't tape their TV tapings and then do the pay-per-view for the night before. Otherwise, we don't know who the world champion was the next day or before the pay-per-view even aired. I mean, let's give Ring of Honor credit. They have their pay-per-view on Friday and then they tape on Saturdays, if I'm correct. Their TV tapings, and then they'll maybe have one or two live shows there. Okay, that's great for a wrestler. You can't beat that if you're only going to work, you know, what, four, maybe five dates a month and make good money. I mean, that's awesome. And I think that, you know, we've been talking about TNA going under for it feels like 5 years, and they're just barely above the water right now.
Well, and like I said, I think that their demise has been greatly exaggerated. But this is still the height of stupidity. It really is. It's telling me as a consumer, you do not need to watch our program, because if you want to know who the world champion is going to be, you can look it up online. It's not that hard. And that's not a smart move. I bet, you know, and I agree with you. I think that this Impact is probably going to get super high ratings. And then TNA is going to go, wait, what did we do differently here? Well, we had a bunch of people return. That's kind of cool. But it was also live. And so people didn't know what was going to happen. And if you really, you know, and here's the thing, you know, TNA this week, they're going to get what, all together, like 600,
You know what? I hope they get 700,000 combined.
I hope so too.
I really do. And here's why, because then it's going to say, oh, wow, we're live. But here's what I know what's going to happen. The following week, it's going to get, even if it says, let's just say EC3 wins the title, right? Let's just say that. All right.
He's going to.
Probably. Okay, let's say he wins it, right? That means you already know it's going to happen, but if they say it was not a good match during the spoilers, I probably would just watch that match and be like, all right. It won't be a big deal to me then. But if they say, like, oh my gosh, this Impact was, they taped it perfect, it was a great showing, blah, blah, blah. you know, you need to watch it. Okay, I'll watch it, but you're not going to have surprises anymore because you already know. If you know he's going to win the title, you're
They would have gotten extra 100,000 people watching if it was Kurt Angle versus EC3 for the title and if it was live.
Oh,
because
yeah.
That, and if they really heavily promoted it. I'm sure Destination America, you know, promoted this one, but to really promote it and say unbeaten, taking on Angle, and really promoting it, say this is live. This is what everyone's going to be talking about. This isn't just must see. This is can't miss. And I think that's the big thing that TNA is not doing.
And realistically, this match should have taken place on Wednesday. I'm just saying it right now.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's, you know, what I was saying is that it should have.
Yeah, so. But yeah, so we real quick with their schedule, like we said, it's just completely messed up. Next month they're taping. They have a full week of shows that they're taping, and they haven't said if they're taping them in the morning or I'm sorry, in the afternoon and at night. That's the only thing we're not sure of yet, because they could potentially. So I'm wondering how they're going to do this. But I guess that's something we'll just have to wait and see. And I'm actually kind of interesting to see what's going to happen pretty much the next few weeks with TNA. So anyway, so that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at AuthorMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And for Aaron Hughes, I am Andrew Hughes. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.